I'd like to make just two little opening comments. Number one, thanks for being here. I know when Christmas is on a Monday, there can be that little temptation to think, oh, I'll just go to Mass at Christmas Eve on Sunday evening, and that'll like count for both obligations. No, that's not what the church says. We always have a Sunday obligation, and we always have certain holy days of obligation, Christmas being one of them. And so, good job. Thanks for coming today. I'll never forget, when I hear that word obligation, Sunday obligation, holy day of obligation, I'll never forget something I heard from a woman in my previous parish who was a convert to Catholicism, went through RCIA. She once said to me, after I made an announcement, this week is a holy day of obligation, she said, Father Park, I don't like that word obligation. I said, well, what do you mean? She says, I want to come to Mass. And I was like, yes, exactly. That's the goal, right? That I would, of course I'd want to come to Mass every Sunday. Of course I'd want to come to Mass on Christmas, right? That it's something I desire to do. It's more than just an obligation. Second comment. As Catholics, we all know that the Mass that more Catholics come to every year is Christmas. So when Mass is tonight, it's tomorrow morning for Christmas. The church will be packed. Actually, it was packed last night, which was really cool. But churches will be packed. You'll see a lot of people that don't normally come to Mass. And so just a couple things about that. First of all, if someone's in your pew, deep breath, it's going to be okay. It's all right. But really, this can be a great opportunity, right, for us to remember to pray. When you look around, if you come back tonight or tomorrow morning, when you come back tonight or tomorrow morning, and maybe you see some people that, oh, they never come to church on Sunday. Again, we don't want to be judgmental. We want to be loving and welcoming, and also this is a great opportunity to pray for those people, that something about the Christmas Mass, maybe the music or the homily or just the liturgy, the community, something would this Christmas touch their hearts and encourage them to come back next Sunday and the Sunday after and start to come back to the full practice of the faith. So let's be praying for that, for all those people we know. Obviously, it's not you guys here, right? Who come to Christmas Mass, you know, once a year. Let's pray for their hearts that they would be open to fully coming back to the church, to Jesus. Question. When did the church begin? Can we pinpoint a moment and say, that right there, that's the beginning of the church? Well, it's hard to narrow it down to one moment in salvation history. There's a few moments in the scriptures we can say, that right there, that's the beginning of the church. One option is Pentecost. We often talk about Pentecost as the birthday of the church, 50 days after Easter Sunday, when the Holy Spirit came down upon the early disciples to empower them to live the Christian life. We now have our brand new icon above the choir of Pentecost, with Mary, our spiritual mother in the center. Mary was there with the disciples. She was there with the apostles at Pentecost, the spiritual mother who's helping the church as the church comes to birth in the world. Little side note, the cloth that Mary is holding in the icon, there's 12 little red circles on it. Those are meant to be 12 seeds. They're meant to be the seeds of the Holy Spirit that were planted in the hearts of the 12 apostles and all the Christians who received the Holy Spirit that day. Notice that the color of the seed is the same color as the tongues of fire above their heads. Again, to symbolize that the seed, and they have all these like vines around, like the new life that comes from the life of the Holy Spirit. So that's one option. The Holy Spirit, the church began at Pentecost. Good option. Another option, you say, the church began on Good Friday at the cross. Remember right after Jesus died on the cross, John writes that a soldier pierced his side with a lance and then writes that blood and water flowed out. When the church fathers commented on this passage, they say, from the pierced side of Christ, the church was born. What does that mean? Well, they saw the blood and water that flowed from the side of Christ as a symbol of baptism and the Eucharist, the two most central sacraments in the church. There is no church without baptism and the Eucharist. That flowed from his side, that the church came to birth that day as Jesus poured out his life for the world, and he does that every day through the sacraments. Another moment you could say the church began was the night before that, at the Last Supper, when Jesus instituted the Eucharist. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. St. Paul talks about that in his letters. What did Jesus give us the night before he died? He gave us his body in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. The church for 2,000 years has been celebrating the Eucharist, has been celebrating the gift of the body and blood of Christ to make present that one eternal sacrifice of the cross on every altar in churches all over the world so that we might participate, that we might receive the grace of the body and blood that was sacrificed for me on the cross. But one other moment you could say the church began, and probably the earliest moment in time you could say the church began, was in our gospel today. The story of the Annunciation. What happened at the Annunciation? The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and she says, this 15-year-old girl, and says, God has a special plan for you. You're going to become the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Savior of the world. And Mary gives her great response of faith. She says, yes. She says, let it be done unto me according to thy word. She says, yes to the will of God. And it was at that moment the incarnation happened. As John writes in his gospel, at that moment when Mary said yes, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In that very moment with Mary's yes, a little zygote was there in the womb of Mary. The human nature of Jesus was created at that moment, to which he united his divine nature in the one person of Jesus Christ. Again, the church is the body of Christ. When did the body of Christ actually begin? At that moment in the womb of Mary, at the Annunciation. What is the church fundamentally? Well, we're the church. The church fundamentally is human beings. Physical church buildings are meant to be signs of the fact that all of you, you and I, we are living stones, as St. Peter talks about in his letter in the New Testament. We are the living stones of the church. And what makes me a member of the church, a living stone, is I'm a person that strives to do the will of God, to follow Christ. That's what the church is. The church is a community of disciples, people who have chosen to be followers of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And how beautiful is it, at this beginning of the church, at the Annunciation, you have Mary, the first and best Christian disciple in all of history, saying yes to the will of God. She was that first living stone of the church. Sometimes it's hard to do God's will. Sometimes it's even scary to do God's will, to make the sacrifices in my life that I have to do to obey his commands, to follow him. It can be hard, it can be scary. And that's why we hear the message of the angel today, the message the angel said to Mary at the Annunciation. The angel said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You have nothing to fear in saying yes to the will of God for your life, so that you might be that living stone of the church. Anywhere in the world where a man, a woman, a child says yes to the will of God for his or her life, boom, the church is there present. Today, as we end this Advent season and quickly transfer into the Christmas season this evening, let's ask for the grace that we could be those living stones who every single day seek to follow Christ and seek to say yes to the will of God.